Now, before the camp meeting came, I was bringing two or three lessons from the fifth chapter of Matthew and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And that this has to do with humility, meekness. I didn't get through with the subject, so I'll go a little further with it now. The thing that's really needed to live for God is humility.
Yes, amen. Boy, yeah.
And no one's going to make it through to heaven without humility. Plenty of it. Humility is a source of grace. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And without grace, we'll never be able to live for Him. And without humility, we'll never have grace. And the measure of our grace is going to be dependent upon the measure of our humility. So I don't consider humility as a chief grace. I consider it the taproot of all grace. And without it, we just don't have any grace at all. Now, in the lessons this far, we discovered that humility involves a recognition and a confession of our needs. If people are not humble enough to acknowledge and confess and recognize our needs, we have no possible chance of getting the help for our needs from God. He isn't going to just step in and promiscuously here and there and arbitrarily just take care of our needs. We must depend upon Him for them. He says your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him, but He said you ask and you'll receive. Now, God wants you and me to be humble enough to ask Him for the things that we stand in need of and depend upon Him for those things. And He's promised that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And He knows our needs. We're not telling God anything when we pray. We're not making known any special needs to Him when we pray. He already knows all those things, but He wants us to know them. And He wants us to be humble enough to acknowledge and confess our needs and trust Him for our needs. Now, that's the key to getting what you need from God and of real success in living for God. Humility also involves a deep sense of our own unworthiness. Just like the poet said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." We need to recognize and realize that we have nothing at all within ourselves to commend us to the least of His favors. It's just the faith that we have in the merits of the shed blood of God's Son that brings us any favor from God. Any time that we begin to feel that God's obligated to us, or that He owes us something, or that He ought to do this or that for me, because of any good thing I've done, or any service I've rendered, or any sacrifice I've made, that very moment I become unworthy of the least of His favors. Just as long as I put my faith in the merits of the shed blood of His Son, and that only, For every favor I ever get from God, that's the only thing that makes us worthy. Now, humility also involves a sense of destitution, that we have no resources at all. We're entirely without help if God doesn't help us. Now, going a little further, we have in the 15th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 through 28, covers the story. Here is where a Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and besought him for aid for her daughter. She said, "My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil." And she came to Jesus for aid. Somewhere or other, she had an idea. Maybe she'd been in some of these throngs where Jesus healed some and cast out some devils and had seen him do these things. Maybe she had only heard of these things. But however it was, she had an idea in her mind that Jesus could help her.
Yes.
So she came and said, "Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. Will you please help us?" She approached him this way, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil." She recognized the need of mercy. Folks, let us realize that every one of us are continually subjects of God's mercy. If His mercy would just be withdrawn from us for just a short space, we would all be destroyed. We'd all be taken away. We're just subjects of God's mercy continually. And this woman recognized, "It's mercy I need now." Sometimes people say, "All I want is just justice. God help you." If that's the attitude you have, "I just want justice." If we all got the justice for our doings, we would have all been destroyed in a devil's hell before now. But mercy prevailed against judgment and brought us a way of salvation. It's the mercy of God that we're here. It's the mercy of God that we're saved. Let us forget about justice. Let us plead for mercy. And let us have mercy, the same as we want God to have mercy on us. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil." Now, how did Jesus handle this situation? It says He answered her not a word. Listen, folks. Can you think of anything quite so humiliating as to just be completely, entirely ignored? None of us like that much, do we? Just to be ignored. But Jesus just ignored the woman. Never said a word to her. Never said, "Get out," or never said, "I'm not going to help you," or "I will help you," or anything. He just ignored her like she wasn't even there. Now that's real humiliating. If she'd have been like some folks, she'd have said, "Well, he just don't act like I'm around here. Never said a word to me when I asked him to have mercy on me. I'll just go on away. I wouldn't accept anything from him anyway. Treat me like that." But no, this woman stayed right there. She had a conviction in her heart that God, that Christ could help her, and He was the only one that could help her. So she continued to press her case, and finally the disciple said, "Lord, send this woman away. She's a pest." Now they didn't just say that, but that's the way we would evaluate the words that they did say. She's worrying us. Well, that's real humiliating to just feel like you're in the way, isn't it? That's very disconcerting. This woman's just in our way, and she's just bothering us here. Just send her on away. But she just kept pressing her case, just kept coming. Finally, Jesus said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, what I have's not for you anyway. It doesn't cover your case. Well, most of folks by now would have said, "Well, it's time for me to go." He just said it wasn't for me, he wasn't going to help me. But she just kept pressing her case till finally he said, "It isn't meet or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Oh, what a blow that was. Just a dog. My, it is time for her to bristle now. Can't call me a dog and me hang around. Not going to get by with anything like that. I wouldn't take anything from you now if you'd give it to me. Call me a dog. But no, she said, "Truth, Lord. You can call me a dog. I'll be a dog. I'll take any kind of position. Just help me now." The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That broke his heart. He could not resist that. Folks, blow after blow after blow after blow fell on this poor woman's soul that day. But she had that conviction in her heart. Here's the man that can help me. This is the only man that can help me. I'm going to stay right here till I get some help. And when he virtually called her a dog, she just humbled right on down. "Yes, true, Lord. That's all right. I'll be a dog, but they get the crumbs from the master's table." And Jesus couldn't stand that. He said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou hast said." And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Folks, the good news I'm bringing you this morning is that you can get anything you want from God if you'll just be humble enough. Humility is what we need. Humility is what is lacking. What we need is just some good, top-notch, first-rate beggars that'll just stay before God and beg till they get what they need. We don't like that idea, do we? Maybe that's the reason we're not getting what we need. Maybe that's the reason we're going through on short rations. We just don't like to be beggars. Don't like to be rated as beggars. But that's what is needed, some good, top-notch, first-rate begging. Just stay there. Brother Greer used to say, Brother Benson quotes him occasionally, as saying, "Pray on till the answer comes." Yeah. Humility is what's needed. Humility is what's lacking. And you and I can get anything we want or anything we need from God if we're just humble enough. God will put us through some humbling experiences to test our grace of humility many times before He answers our prayers and gives us the help that we need. The most of us would be well pleased and satisfied if people danced our music, so to speak, if the first time we spoke they jumped and just come right along. If God did us that way, we'd just be happy, wouldn't we? That's egotistical to think that way. Everybody ought to bow to me. Everybody should just be real attentive to my desires and my wants. When I speak, everybody ought to jump. That's real egotistical. And no humility about that kind of an attitude. We think that way about God too. But God has His ways of humbling us.
Amen.
Brother Shute said one time he prayed and prayed for humility. God, just make me humble. Help me to be humble, Lord. Well, he said, finally he did, but said when it come, it was labeled itch. He got the itch. That took the starch out of him fast. That was humiliating. It's better if you and I will humble ourselves than it is to just wait on God to humble us. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due season. If we wait for God to humble us, we have no promise of being exalted in due season. And those experiences wherein God humbles us are real humiliating experiences. But if we will learn to willingly, graciously humble our own hearts before God, God has respect to that kind of an attitude. And He will exalt us in due season. Jesus gave us the lesson in the 18th chapter of Luke. Spake a parable to this end, that man ought to always pray and not to faint. Well, somebody said, I just hate to always be asking for something. But Jesus told us to do that. You ought to always pray and not faint. And the parable that He brought was about a widow woman and an unjust judge. Now the widow woman, if we measure things out according to present day standards, we'll miss the whole thought of this parable. According to present day standards, this is pretty much of a woman's world. And women have quite a lot of opportunities and privileges in this world in our day. But it wasn't so in the Bible times. A widow woman was just about a helpless woman. And just about a victim to anybody that wanted to victimize her, or impose on her, or take away her rights. The widow woman just didn't hold much position. And then the judge, being unjust, that put her at a greater disadvantage yet. He didn't regard God, or he didn't fear God, nor regard man. Now that was a difficult situation. And this widow woman came to this unjust judge, desiring to be avenged of her adversary, someone that had taken advantage of her, imposed upon her, taken away her rights. And the judge didn't pay any attention to her. He didn't say yes, no, get out, or what not. Just ignored her. Didn't pay any attention. He wouldn't do it. But that woman just camped right on his doorstep, so to speak, till she just worried him into it. She just kept coming and kept coming till that judge, he didn't want the people to think he had softened any. So he reiterated that when he went to undertake for the woman. He said, "Now I don't fear God. I don't regard man. I'm just like I was about that. But because this widow woman continually troubles me, I'm going to avenge her of her adversaries to get rid of her. Get her off my doorstep, so to speak." So he did. And Jesus used that. He said, "Hear what that unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry unto him day and night?" Just keep begging. Just keep crying. Good first-rate beggars. That's what we need. We'll get somewhere when we get humble enough to beg. I'm not talking about going down on the street corner and standing there with a tin cup and make some kind of music or something to attract the passers-by to drop coins in my cup. That's not the kind of begging I'm talking about. I'm talking about folks that will go in their secret closet or into the high mountain apart or wherever it is and stay there and beg of God till they get what they need. Humble people. Dependent people. In 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, in this case, God has pronounced judgment on the princes of Israel. And they have apostatized from God. They have brought in abominable idolatries. God reached a point where judgment was to be meted out. So he decreed complete extinction on these folks. And he was going to destroy them. And he had Shishak from Egypt up there with his army to do the job. And he had plenty of army to accomplish this. Shimeiah, the prophet of God, came to these princes and leaders and great men and pronounced the judgment upon them, what God had decreed. What was in store for them? And it involved complete extinction. He's going to obliterate them. Just destroy and blot them out. When Shimei got through announcing this, these men said, "The Lord is righteous." Even if he's going to do this, if he just blots us out, obliterates us, takes us all away, we've got it coming. The Lord's righteous in whatever he does. Now God looked upon this circumstance, saw these people as they recognized the righteousness of God, and he told Shimei, he said, "Now because they have humbled themselves, listen. of heart involves you and me justifying God in whatever He does. Maybe things are going rough with us. But instead of murmuring and repining and complaining, we need to be busy justifying God and humbling our hearts and seeking Him for the help that He wants to give to us out of those things. They said, the Lord's righteous. If He does all of this that you say, He's justified in it. We've got it coming. Reminds me of one time Opal and I were called to pray for Sister Doolittle, Mother Doolittle. And she had been visiting some of her children over in Texas. She had come back and was at the home of another daughter of hers there in Glendale, I guess, or one of those suburbs in the San Fernando Valley area in California. And she was right down in bed with her back. She couldn't make a move without severe pain. Wasn't able to turn herself over in the bed. And if she just move a foot, it was severe pain. Well, they called us down there to pray for her, and when we walked in, this is the way she greeted us. She said, Brother and Sister Wilson says, I'm getting just exactly what I deserve. Said, I've been off down there visiting my worldly children, and said, I've been kind of taken up with some of their worldly activities, and I haven't kept up my devotions and my spiritual life and gotten lean in my soul, and said, now I'm just getting exactly what I deserve. Well, you know, it's easy to pray for that woman. She just acknowledged the facts, brought them right out. It's easy to pray for that woman. We anointed her, prayed for her. She got up and followed us to the door, walked out in the yard as we went to our car. The next Sunday morning, she came into service walking under her own power. God healed the woman because she humbled her heart. Now God said to Shimei, said, because these people have humbled their hearts, they've justified me in what I purpose to do to them. Therefore, I'm not going to carry out the complete judgment that I had in mind for them, but I'll grant them some deliverance. And yet he said they're going to be left in the hands of Shishak that they may learn. I want them to learn something out of this. But I'm not going to destroy them like I had in mind to do. Humility paid off, didn't it?
Sure did.
Humility was an out for them people. And when they humbled their hearts, God recognized it and withdrew His judgment. Judgment had already gone forth. But humility saved them folks. Just justifying God in His judgment. And in what He purposed to do to them, if He does it all, we've got it coming. We're just getting what we deserve. If He obliterates us and blots us out, we've got it coming. We have a case of Ahab. Ahab apostatized from God, brought in idolatry into the land of Israel, had altars built to idol gods, went beyond that and had temples built to them, went further yet and had the altars of God torn down and destroyed out of the land, and then went further yet to give permission, issue an order for the prophets of God to be put to death. That was the extreme. And God sent his prophet up there to pronounce judgment on Ahab. And the judgment was that Ahab's name would be blotted out. He was going to completely cut off his name and his posterity. There would be no one to carry on in the name of Ahab. Just complete extinction of the Ahab line. Cut them off. Judgment. The prophet of God went up there and pronounced the judgment. Told Ahab what God had decreed. Ahab, excuse me, clothed himself in sackcloth, sat in ashes, and went softly. God said to his prophet, said, see how Ahab has humbled himself. Therefore, I'm not going to bring this judgment in his day, but in his son's time I'll bring it. Ahab saved himself. Humility was out for him. He escaped the judgment of God, complete extinction, the destruction of his own life, because he humbled himself. See how he's humbled himself. Therefore, I'm going to spare him. I'll not bring this judgment in his day. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. You and I would save ourselves a many a strike if we just learned to humble ourselves. Deliver our own souls out of much trouble. Just to humble ourselves.
Amen.
These examples show us God's attitude toward humble hearts. And people who will humble themselves. And how that they were saved out of their troubles and delivered from complete destruction when the judgment had already been pronounced, but they accepted it humbly, humbled their hearts, and God lifted his hand and withdrew his judgment. Humility is what will help us through. Humility is what will save us. Save us out of our troubles. He said, this poor man cried. Who? The poor man. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The poor man. That's what we need to be, is that poor man. Recognize our complete destitution. Nothing in my hand I bring. I have nothing within myself. No righteousness I've done, no service I've rendered, no sacrifice I've made to commend me to the least of your favors. Simply to thy cross I cling, trusting in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God, and that only. Now, Jesus, well, let me say God in this case. God has always had special respect and regard for the poor. And he made provision for them back in Israel's time that the poor would be taken care of. He forbid the children of Israel to harvest their crops clean. Their olives, their grapes, their wheat, whatever. They were not to harvest it clean. They were to see, they were to leave gleanings for the poor, that the poor among you may eat. If a bundle was dropped or overlooked, bypassed in the field, he says, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the poor. Every seventh year was a sabbatical year. They were to leave their land lay out, let the land rest. On the seventh year, they were not to farm it. And what grew of itself, volunteer, they were not to go out and gather it, let the poor have it. The children of Israel violated this and became neglectful of the poor. God stepped in behalf of the poor and had these people conquered by the Babylonians. They came in and whipped them, took their land, and it said they carried away the princes and the great men to be their servants, but left the poor in the land. They'd been depriving the poor. God was going to see that the poor got their share. What was coming to them. And they let the poor farm the land, kind of on a sharecrop arrangement. And the people that did the farming would get a portion of what was produced, and then the final wind up said he gave them vineyards and lands beside, just gave it to them. The poor had been neglected. They had been oppressed. God whipped the folks that had been doing this, the rich folks, the princes, the rulers, the great men. He just soundly whipped them and had them carried away out of the land and left the poor there to get their share. And they got houses and vineyards, or lands and vineyards beside. And how could them poor people ever have raided any lands and vineyards just on their own? But God gave it to them. God has respect to the poor today. Poor in spirit. Humble people. God has respect to them. God will see to it that their cause is vindicated in the earth. He says, by way of warning to the people, take heed how you despise one of these little ones that believe in me. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you go to imposing on these folks, these little ones, these humble folks that believe in me, you go to imposing on them and taking advantage of them and taking away their rights, you've got God and the angels to deal with too. They're going to be right there. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. God still has respect to the poor. He'll still plead the cause of the poor, the poor in spirit, the humble men and women, meek people, submissive folks, that people would naturally ride over their heads and take advantage of them and impose on them and take away their rights. But Jesus said, just take heed now how you do this kind of a thing, because we'll... the angels and my Father, they're going to be in on this deal when you go to doing that. God will plead our cause. We need not be afraid to be humble people, to be meek and submissive people, and to leave our case in God's hands and commit ourselves unto Him that judgeth righteously, forbearing all threatening, all reviling, all vengeance of every kind. Commit ourselves to Him that judgeth righteously, and He'll get in on it. They'll have God to deal with. He'll vindicate our cause. He'll plead in behalf of the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great reward in humility. Amen.